It's better than yours, Glenn. Somebody once said a good sermon should have a beginning and it should have an end, and the two should be as close together as possible. So, with that in my mind, let's get going. What have we got? Yeah, let us run the race. Right. I'm not actually getting the... That's all right, they're on it. I'm not getting it on the wall at the moment. Dave, just saying page 2. We're trying to get it on the wall so that you don't see as much of my back as you will otherwise, although some have said it's my best profile. I'll talk and we'll let them get on. I don't know if you saw, heard on the news not so long ago about some rather shocking news about the London Marathon. Somebody had leaked some blood tests into the public domain from the athletes who had been taking part in it, and they had shown that quite a considerable number of those who had won it in recent years had returned blood tests that were suspiciously abnormal. The thought being that these are the kind of blood tests returned by people who are using performance-enhancing drugs. And we know it happens. The picture of the athlete in the red is a picture of Ben Johnson, who won the 100 metres Olympic title in Seoul in Korea in 1988. I remember it well, I watched it live. He burst out of the blocks. He broke the world record, he won it by some distance, he beat the great Carl Lewis into second place. I thought, wow. And how shocking to find very soon afterwards Johnson ran on steroids. I read only recently that 4 other sprinters in that race also subsequently tested positive for performance-enhancing drugs. Johnson's argument was you had to do it, everyone else was doing it. He said it was a level playing field, it wasn't the level playing field you thought it was. But then he would say that, wouldn't he? Not only athletics, the picture of the guy in yellow, of course, is Lance Armstrong, who won 7 Tours de France. Is that how you say it? I'm not very good at French. 7, all on drugs. There's a whacking great hole in the record of the Tour de France now for 7 years where nobody won it. Because he won it, using performance-enhancing drugs. We shouldn't be surprised, the rewards are enormous. People will do almost anything to get an edge. Almost anything. Winning is everything, that old Olympic thing, you know, it's not about winning, it's about taking part. Yeah. It's all about winning. Well, what has this got, if anything, to do with us? Well, just this. We are all racers. Dave and I walk. We don't do much running these days, but we walk a lot. But we are all racers. It's an analogy that the Bible uses, and it's a great one because it has a start and an end. And we're talking about long distance here. We're not usually talking about sprints. And there's a lot in between. And some of it's straight, some of it's level, and some of it's not. And we're all on that race. At least we are if we know the Lord. We've given our lives to Him. And so I just want to share with you very quickly some scriptures on this theme that may encourage and challenge you and strengthen you this morning. That's my hope. Firstly, 1 Corinthians 9, verse 24, where Paul says, "Do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever." Paul's using as an illustration the Isthmian Games that took place in Corinth every 3 years, second in importance only to the Olympic Games. And the competitors went into strict training for 10 months before the games. And if you won, you got that sort of crown that the guy's being crowned with there on the picture. Well, it's great news that there is a prize, and it's better news that there's a prize that isn't only going to last for, well, how long does a leaf crown take to wither and die, but one that will last forever. I just want to pause at this moment to say, since we're talking about racing, I'm not racing you, and you're not racing her. It's not a race, it's not a competition with each other. That's not the biblical picture of the race at all. But we are all in a race. The next scripture is Galatians 5, verse 7, where Paul says, "You were running a good race. Who cut in on you and kept you from obeying the truth?" You see, they'd come to know the Lord, these Gentiles in Galatia. They'd accepted a gospel of grace based on God's love, free, undeserved, through the cross of Christ. And then people had come along and said to them, "Oh, well, that's okay, but you've got to do this as well, and you've got to do this as well, and you've got to do this as well. You've got to be circumcised. You've got to keep this special day. You mustn't eat these foods." There's still people that prefer to live their Christian lives like that, aren't there? Lots of rules and regulations. But they were saying, "You've got to do these things if you want to be saved." And Paul's intensely angry. He's, "No! So who cut in on you? Who messed you up? You were running so well. You'd got hold of this gospel of grace. And someone's cut in on you." I wonder if something's hindering your race this morning. Something cut in on you. You used to run well, but now not so well. We need to be on our guard, don't we? The next scripture is from Acts 20 and 24, where Paul is talking. He's on his way back to Jerusalem, and he's called the elders of the Ephesian church to come and meet him at the port on or near the boat. And he's saying stuff to them, including these words. "I consider my life worth nothing to me, if only I may finish the race and complete the task the Lord Jesus has given me, the task of testifying the gospel of God's grace." He knows what lies in front of him. He's going to be arrested when he gets to Jerusalem. He may have never been a free man thereafter. Even the prophet Agabus said, "This is what's going to happen to you. You're going to be..." He took a belt, didn't he? He wrapped it round him. He said, "This is what the Jews in Jerusalem will do to the man whose belt this is." And Paul said, "Stop it, you're breaking my heart," sort of thing. "I'm ready to do this." Why is he ready? He says, "I consider my life worth nothing to me if only I may finish the race and complete the task." Did he really consider his life worth nothing? If he did, he'd have jumped overboard from... He valued his life like you did. He just didn't value it so much that he wasn't willing to lay it down, to finish the race. And of course, it raises the question in my mind, well, how committed am I to finishing my race? Could obstacles arise that would stop me running? I know that things have happened that have made me feel like stopping. I've been so cross with God that I'm not sure I want to do this anymore. But somehow, I keep going. I keep running. Staggering would be a better word sometimes. It's in the right direction, though. And then the next one, Paul writes some words to Timothy. These are famous words, aren't they? "The time has come for my departure. 2 Timothy 4, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And not only to me, but also to all who have longed for his appearing. Paul's in prison when he writes this, in Rome. And he knows what faces him. He knows that his life hasn't got very much longer to go. He's able to say to young Timothy, this young guy that he loved, who was part of his team, I've fought the fight. I've finished the race. I've kept the faith. Now, there is in store the crown. Not just my crown, he says, no, also for all those who've longed for his appearing. His confidence is so strong, the finishing tape is in sight. And he knows there's a reward. The writer in Hebrews 12 uses similar language. He says, let's throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. Let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let's fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. It occurred to me as I read it, I've read it lots of times before, but thinking about it in the context of a race, Jesus fires the starting pistol and he also holds the finishing tape. He's the author and perfecter of our faith. But let's run with perseverance, the race marked out for us. You know, there's a sense in which it's the same race for you as it is for me. The Christian life for everyone means running a life of holiness, running a life of love, of service, doesn't it? Of honesty and truthfulness. These are just the characteristics of the Christian life. And you might want to say, yeah, and this one, Alan, and this one, and I'm great. But there's also the thought that your race isn't going to be exactly the same as my race. God has got stuff for you that he didn't have for me or doesn't have for me. Your particular race. And so the writer of the Hebrew says, run it. Listen. I don't know, this might be from God or it might just be my imagination. But I was sitting looking at that speaker over by the drums. You know why he has it? It's so he can hear what the rest of us are doing. So he can hear the singers. He can hear the guitar. He can hear the keyboard. Otherwise, how can he keep in time? We call it a fallback. It's so that Luke knows what we're doing. He hears our voice. Are we taking steps to make sure that we hear what God is saying to us? Do we listen? Are our minds open? Are our ears open? Are our hearts open? What is God saying to us? We can't say, I can't hear because I've got no fold back. It's more a question, I can't hear because I'm not listening. We need to listen. That verse, it introduces my next point. That word, perseverance, is vital in this race. It's ever so simple, isn't it? Say, this isn't very complicated, Alan. Well, great, I'm not a very complicated person. It's keeping going, isn't it? The old book, Never Give Up by Persevere. Sorry, it's not stopping, it's keeping going. Have another look at this scripture. Paul says, let's not become weary in doing good. This is Galatians 6. Let's not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if what? If we don't give up. I was just thinking that someone that can run 25 miles would be a remarkable runner. Fantastic stamina. But then I thought, but if they were in a marathon, 25 miles is no good. Why? Because a marathon's 26 miles. And Thank you, 385 yards. 25 miles, yum, finished. So close. So close. I hit the wall, I gave up. You've got to finish. You want the good thing, the harvest in your life to produce the good things, says Paul. You'll produce a harvest if you don't grow weary and stop. He writes this to the Philippian church in 3:13. And these again are very well known words. I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind, straining towards what's ahead, I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenwards in Christ Jesus. Well, I just think I want to make the point when I read that, that if Paul wasn't the finished product, then you're not. And I am most certainly not. He said, I have to forget what's behind, the good, the bad, and the ugly, forget it. Press on and strain. Anyone that thinks that Christianity is a doddle and that you just breeze through it has never read the Bible. Anyone who thinks this race is always run under a blue sky with a nice sunny sun shining and a little breeze, you know, it's rubbish. Anyone who thinks it's always flat has not tried running it. Paul says, I strain towards what's ahead. I press on. See the effort that goes into it. Perseverance is essential. I had my dictionary. I'm not sure I thought all that much of it when I did, but I thought I'd share it with you anyway. Perseverance, a continued steady belief or efforts. Persistence. To persevere is to continue to make an effort despite difficulties. You wouldn't have to persevere if there weren't any difficulties, would you? It would be a doddle, wouldn't it? Jesus said some words in the parable of the sower in Luke chapter 8 when he was talking about the final seed that fell on the good soil. He said that the seed on good soil stands for those with a noble and good heart who hear the word, retain it, and by persevering produce a crop. That's how they do it. They simply keep going. And they produce a good crop. And then some more words that Paul wrote to Timothy. 1 Timothy 4, watch your life and doctrine closely, persevere in them, because if you do, you will save both yourself and your hearers. Are you starting to get this message that you've simply got to persevere? Whatever. Hold on.
I've actually been there because of a simple reason. I've been in for 3 operations and everything you've said is so close to the truth that it's really unreal. Because of a simple reason, the race you're running is your life. Because every time I've been there, I've died, I've come back, and he's kept me going. The person's been with me, my great strength. I think anybody that's been in for an operation, I think even I said to Frances that when Iris went in for her operation, she will come through it. And I think that's what I've said. And now you said about the steroids. I was on steroids from the beginning when I had all my colon and stoma removed. And it was those that kept me going. I'm now off of them, but I carry on. And I still fight in the fight with one leg or whatever. You're still carrying on.
You can run this race with one leg. Thank you, Dave. It's not an interruption. It's not an interruption at all. Thank you.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, enough on that one. The next one is something that Peter wrote, 2 Peter 1 verse 6, and I won't spend long on it, but he lists a list of qualities that Christians should have, and he says, make every effort to add perseverance to them. And he says, if you do, you'll be kept from being ineffective and unproductive. So clearly this idea of perseverance is really important. But now I come to my last point. And it's this, and it's, I don't like it, but it's this point that suffering has a part to play in producing perseverance in our lives. Paul says this to the Roman church. He says, we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also rejoice in our sufferings because we know that suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance, character, and character, hope. So then, Paul, suffering can have a positive result. Most definitely, he says, it can. Well, we don't choose it and we don't enjoy it. We would, if we were honest, we would go a long way to avoid it. But Paul is saying that it can have positive results. It can produce perseverance, which will carry us to the finishing tape. James agrees with him. James chapter 1, consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. Blessed is the man who perseveres under trial, because when he stood the test, he will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him. Exactly the same point. The testing of your faith develops perseverance. And James, of course, goes a little further. He talks about the reward, but we've already noticed that. Can we do it? Can we finish? Can we run to the tape? Can we receive the crown? Paul says, certainly you can. Certainly you can. He writes this to the church in Philippi. He says, in all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you we'll carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. I love that he says confident. I love that he says I'm confident of this. He tells us who started the work. It was God. He says he'll finish it. It'll be God. But if we're going to believe this when things get horrible, then we need to have a very, very firm handle on what we were talking, singing about, early praying about earlier on, and that's the grace of God. And so I've put together one or two visuals for that. Ephesians 2, for by grace you've been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one may boast. Some quotes. John Piper wrote, grace is not simply leniency when we've sinned. Grace is the enabling gift of God not to sin. Grace is power, not just pardon. I couldn't help it, Lord. It wasn't my fault. Yes, it was your fault. God is giving us his grace to give us the power to live lives of overcoming. And I know we don't always do it. That's because we don't draw on the grace of God enough. Rick Warren wrote, in God's garden of grace, even a broken tree can bear fruit. And some of you know what it feels like to be a broken tree. John Newton said those famous words, I am not what I ought to be. I'm not what I wish to be. I'm not what I hope to be. But by the grace of God, I am not what I was. How many people can say that? Jerry Bridges wrote, your worst days are never so bad that you're beyond the reach of God's grace. And your best days are never so good that you'll be on the need of God's grace. I just think that is absolutely true. This is from something to do with Christian marriages. This is grace. Fortunately, God doesn't keep score the way we humans do. If he did, there wouldn't be one of us still standing. And then the last one was this one that you probably heard. The will of God will never take you where the grace of God cannot keep you. We've got to have a firm handle on grace. The undeserved kindness of God, you can't earn it. You can't buy it. You can't deserve it. You can just receive it as a free gift from God who loves you. The best of us, the best of them, is undeserving. The worst of us may still receive. Through the cross of our Lord Jesus, we can all be forgiven and accepted. Somebody said, the longest journey begins with a single step. The gun goes off and you start running. Have you heard the gun? Have you started running? Well, Mum and Dad are Christians. Yeah, what about you? My dad was a great Christian. Fantastic. What about you? Go to church now and then. Have you heard the gun? Did you hear Jesus say, walk with me, or stick to my analogy, run with me? We can have a God who dances, we can have a Saviour that runs. If you haven't started running the race this morning, I want to commend the love of Jesus to you. I urge you to join in that race. They're fantastic pictures, aren't they, those pictures of marathons when they all start. There's thousands of people, aren't there, you know, and a mass, and they all set off together, apart from the good guys who I think go first, don't they, so they don't get cluttered up with the also-rans. And there's an enormous number of us running. All around the world, God has got his people all running the race. And this grace, you know, it's already been said this morning, we're saved by grace, but we weren't only saved by grace, we're being saved by grace. God is still pouring it out on our lives day by day. God, grace is, if you like, it's the irresistible force that will carry us across the line if we let God do it. The perseverers have got fuel in their tanks to keep going. You can't actually, I'm mixing up my metaphors, something terribly here. I don't think you're allowed to run races on motorbikes. But grace is the fuel in our tanks. If you like, it's the air in our lungs. That's better, isn't it? So that we don't run out of steam. If we stop, friends, we choose to stop. No one has to stop. Even when you're on your hands and knees, you can still crawl. You just got to keep going. I want to finish quickly and show you a quick short video, but I just want to assure you that you don't run it on your own. Jesus in that Matthew 28 verse says, surely I will be with you always to the very end of the age. How does that work? It works by the Holy Spirit. Jesus says, I'll give you another counselor. He lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. We're not going to run this on our own as if he would let us do such a thing. And another one, Jesus says, you're going to have troubles, the race is going to be tough sometimes, but in John 16 he says, take heart, I have overcome the world. The writer to the Hebrews says, God has said, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. Thank you, Lord. I'm not going to run this. I couldn't run it on my own. I don't want to try and run it on my own. And we have a role to play in helping one another run. The writer to the Hebrews in chapter 10 says, let's consider how we may spur one another towards love and good deeds. I thought all of a sudden it's become a horse race. How we may spur one another towards love and good deeds. Let us not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another. We ought to be encouraged by our times together. We go away feeling drained. That's wrong. We should be encouraged by our times together to run the race. I came in feeling tired and I went away feeling energized. Ready for the next lap. Who wants to run the next lap? Goodness me, there were four of you. Well, it's enough for a relay. Last point. Falls and stumbles will come. You will fail. It's so important to know that failure does not equal disqualification. You can't run anymore. No. Fail as many times as you have to. I was going to say as many times as you want. I hope that would be none. But you will. You probably have done this week. But it doesn't disqualify you from the race. John says, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just. He'll forgive us our sins. Purify us from all unrighteousness. Stand us up, brush us down, check that our spikes are still in place and say, off you go. Get running. Don't stop. Francis and I have been reading John's Gospel at home recent days, and we read the three times that Peter denied Jesus. I don't know him. Surely you sound like people from Galilee. You're one of... No. Are you sure? I don't even know the man. And the cock crows. What a spectacular failure. This is the Peter who said, I'll lay down my life for you. But we read on, didn't we, a few days later to the events by the lake when Jesus says, come and have breakfast. And then afterwards he says to Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And then another time, do you love me? Yeah, it's starting to get embarrassing now. Do you feed my sheep, feed my lamb? What a restoration. And what a ministry the guy had thereafter. Failures can become race runners. They can become winners. They can become fruitful. They can do things for God. In fact, sometimes I think the biggest failures make the biggest successes, don't they? Failure doesn't disqualify. What a race he ran, faithful to death. Because he did do what he said, I'll lay down my life for you. He just didn't do it when he had the first opportunity to. Dave, can you show us the video, please? This is a video that some of you will have seen from the 1992 Barcelona Olympics. British hopes in the 400 metres men's sprint rested on a runner called Derek Redmond. He was a good runner. He was in with a very real chance of a medal, maybe even gold. And this is what happened in the 400 metres final. You'll have to excuse a bit of Coldplay.
Derek Redmond, the best form he's shown since he broke the British record.
When you try your best but you don't succeed. When you get what you want but not what you
Very moving, isn't it? Very inspirational. It's become iconic in the history of the Olympics. The guy who didn't win, in fact, he was disqualified, you're not allowed to be helped over the line. Thousands of people on their feet, roaring him over the line. He made it with his father's help. And so will you. Do you want to stand and pray with me? It is. We need our Father's help. You keep running, Dave. Bless you, brother. You keep running. Firstly, if you haven't started running the race yet, you're not a Christian. I don't care what other people think, if they think you're a Christian or not. That would be embarrassing, wouldn't it? Everybody thought I was, but I'm not. Just get it sorted. Start the race. God will accept you through his Son, our Lord Jesus, who loved you so much that he died for you. I would be thrilled if I learned later that someone started their race today. Find Gordon quietly if you want to, and just tell him that you want to. Churches are to help those who want to run the race. And we will help you. But if you're running and the going's got hard, and it's pouring with rain, it's got dark, and you hurt, you know, the old hamstring's gone, I want to pray for you and for me, that God will give us that ability to persevere, to keep going. Even if we're doing it slowly, we're still going. We've still got our eyes fixed on the finishing line, though they may be filled with tears. Confident that what God has started, he can finish. Confident that he can bring good things out of sadness. Confident that he has a race marked out for us. With our hearts full of the desire to be able to say, as Paul said, I fought the fight. I've run the race. I've kept the faith. Now there is laid up for me a crown of glory. You know where you stand in this continuum. You know which bit of it you're on. And if your race is going really easy at the moment, then, well, lovely, fantastic. It's not intended that it should be like an obstacle course the whole time. But sometimes it is. Just lift up our hands to the Lord. The Bible says men should pray lifting up holy hands and ask to receive from God what we need from him. Lord, we are so grateful that you've marked out our race. We're so grateful that there is a finish, a crown that awaits those who are faithful. Lord, we're so grateful that you pour out your grace upon us day by day, that the Holy Spirit's presence is with us, that we're not running this by ourselves. Lord, that you are always with us. You'll never leave us. You'll never forsake us. We offer ourselves to you again this morning, Lord. So help us to run the race. Give us your strength. Help us to see past the things that cut in on us and stop us. Stop us from being fruitful. Stop us from doing the things that you have planned out for us. We want to honour you, Lord. We want to glorify you. We want to be the people you want us to be. I pray for my brothers and sisters here this morning that you'll bless them. Lord God, that you'll bless them. Fill them with the grace energy, Lord, that will keep them going to the end. Just ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. I think we'll finish there. We won't sing anymore.